going to be before you long. I'm not going to be before you long. I just want to go to talk to some broken people. I want to talk to some broken people. People that aren't trying to fake it. People that are real enough to identify your places of brokenness. Brokenness doesn't mean that you're weak. Broken just simply means that you've suffered some type of occurrence that caused you to be chipped, damaged, still carrying the scars of yesterday. Broken. Sometimes that's the way that God wants to use us. Broken. You know, people that are not ashamed of how God's brought them through. Broken. Understanding that he took away our crutches of sin, took away our crutches of false strength, broke us down to our barest essence, so that he can be our strength and our all, so that he can prove himself to be mighty in us, so that his grace is sufficient. So that his grace is sufficient. Sometimes he uses broken people. Broken people. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, starting at the 14th verse, Matthew 14:14, it says, "And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed all of their sick. And when the even was come, his disciples came to him, saying, 'Master, this is a desert place. And the time is now past. We're over time. Maybe you need to send the multitude away so that they can go home to their villages and buy some food for them to eat, because they've been here all day without eating.' But Jesus said unto him, 'They don't need to go home, fellas. Why don't you just give them something to eat?' and they say unto him, 'We have here nothing but a young boy's 5 dinner rolls,'" because they were not loaves of Wonder Bread. It was a little boy who brought a packed lunch to hear Jesus speak. And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 dinner rolls and 2 small fish." They weren't rainbow trout. They were enough for a little boy's lunch and 2 small fish. And Jesus said, "All right, well, bring the bread and the fish hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it. But then he did something quite significant. And he broke it. He blessed it and he broke it. And gave the loaves to his disciples, and his disciples took it to the multitude. And they did all, every one of them eat. This is significant. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that were left, that remained, 12 baskets full of fragments of fish and loaves. And they that had eaten were about 5,000. Men, not counting the women and the children. I'm going to stop there. And the broken pieces were able to facilitate thousands in its broken state. in its broken state, God used it to facilitate the needs of 5,000 men, not counting women, not counting children, over 10,000 people. Utilizing something that people thought was not enough. Boy, y'all not getting this. Are you that disconnected that you realize that you fail to realize that you are considered not enough? Are you that sanctimonious that you think that you're all out in a bag of chips? No. People have discounted you that you don't even know of. Because you don't look the part, because of your history, because of your lack of pedigree, because of your situation economically or you know, in society, you have been counted out by people. You don't have what it takes, you know. You don't have the it factor. If there was a choice, you wouldn't have been chosen. Ah, that's how man looks at it. But God looks at broken pieces as evidence that they have purpose. Oh yeah. God has never chosen the mighty. He has never chosen the noble. Not many mighty after the flesh are called. Not many noble after the flesh are called. Not many wise after the flesh are called. But it pleases God. He uses the foolish things to confound the wise. God. Hallelujah. God is so great. God is so holy. God is so masterful. God is so keen. God is so creative that he will take this mess. He will take this mess and make a message out of this. He will utilize us in order to reach other people. And he will utilize us in our broken state, because people will trust you if they can see your scars. Oh, don't come up on people all pristine. Don't come up on people all polished. Don't come up on people all perfect, because they will deem you as a hypocrite. But when you can show them your scars, when you can show them that you've been through the fire, when you can show them that you've been through the flood, when you can show them that you've been through the struggle, when you can show them that you've been hurt like they have, when you show them that there is an exit out of sin, when you show them by proof positive, they will trust you, they will listen to you, and they will know that if God did it for you, he can do it for them. I'm preaching to myself, and that's okay. That's quite all right, because this thing called holiness, this thing called Christianity, has got to take on a real face. We have been playing around with it too much. We have been playing like we're perfect for too long. We have been praying like we're so holy and anointed for so long. Baby, we've got to put on a real face. Got to put on a face that will show our scars, show that we've been battle-worn, show that we've been through it and came out by the grace of God. People need to know what we've experienced so that they can know that they've got a shot too. Somebody scream. Somebody. I came up in an era where the saints were strong, but then something happened along the way. And the generation started to take on some kind of a false image. And we wanted to be so powerful and so perfect that we pretended. Oh, yeah. You might as well tell the truth. That we wanted to be so powerful and so perfect that we pretended. Gave ourselves all kinds of titles, made ourselves high and lofty, and forgot that when you take your imperialistic clothes off, you're just as broken as the next one. When you take off your robe and take off your censure and you take off your cassock and you take off all that stuff, you're still a broken vessel. And the reason why you wanted all that stuff on it, maybe because you wanted to feign like you were somebody great. But the bottom line is, I ain't got to put on all that stuff to be great. I'm great because he chose me. I'm great because he chose me. And he is more than enough. If I put on Jesus Christ, I don't have to put on any other garb that will identify me as somebody that I really am not. Doesn't mean that everybody that puts on a robe is pretentious, but I'm just talking about what we tried to portray. What we tried to portray in order to be high and lofty. But God has always paid attention to broken man. Pastor Wilens preached a sermon years ago. He said, my handicap is my excuse. God chose me because of my handicap. Y'all don't hear me. If you read 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, you'd find out that God used David in order to bless a handicap. He asked in 2 Samuel 9 and 1, he said, is there anybody left in the house of Saul? Hallelujah. And Jonathan, my brother, is there anyone left for me to bless? Hallelujah. And Ziba came and told him, he said, there is a son. There's a son. I feel like preaching. There's a son by the name of Mephibosheth. There's a son by the name of Mephibosheth, and he is the last son. He's the son of Jonathan. Well, bring him here to me. Well, no, he can't walk. Because when they came through destroying Jerusalem, he was being rushed out at 5 years old by the handmaiden, and he fell, and he broke both of his feet, and he cannot walk. Bring him here to me. They bring Mephibosheth down to David the king. Mephibosheth bows down low and reverences David the king. And David just said one word, Mephibosheth. Bakota. He just called him by his name, Mephibosheth. He didn't disqualify him based on his handicap. He called him by his name, Mephibosheth. God's not calling you based on what you did. He's not disqualifying you based on what was done to you. When you bend down before God, he calls you by your purpose. He calls you by your name. I wish I was talking to somebody here. He said, Mephibosheth. And he said, I am your servant. That's all God's looking for. That no matter how incapacitated you've been in society, that you know that you're something in him. That no matter how marginalized you've been on this earth, that God has a plan for you greater than society knows. That no matter how less you have and how little education you've got or how little pedigree you come from, it doesn't matter who your mama and daddy was. It matters who your God is and the purpose that he has for you. Am I talking to any Mephibosheths in this room? He doesn't disqualify, but he tells Mephibosheth, for as long as you live, you're going to eat at my table. And I'm going to give you all of the property that belonged to your grandfather. I'm going to supply your need and give you servants to serve you for the rest of your life. And although they're tilling your fields and they're bringing in the harvest and they're providing everything for your opulent lifestyle, you're still going to be humble at my table. And I want you to know that God is still in that same position, that he's putting all of us on the potter's wheel, broken and cracked. He's putting us all on the potter's wheel. I'm telling you right now that there is a new creation about to happen in your life. God is taking us and putting us on the potter's wheel, broken. Putting us on the potter's wheel, chipped. Putting us on the potter's wheel with fissures and cracks. Putting us back on the potter's wheel. And get this, he's not throwing away the vessel. based on the fissures and the cracks and the chips, but he's just going to reconstruct the vessel because he's got a purpose for you. Somebody holler, I've got a purpose. Yeah. I'm trying to get through this right quickly. And he puts us back up on the potter's wheel. What anybody else would have thrown away, because everybody sees the crack. Everybody sees the chip. Everybody sees the brokenness. But what they don't see is that there is somebody who sees more than just the outcome of a broken life. But he sees that through our brokenness, he can bless other people. Oh, I wish I had a Koja Gorgon. He could bless other people. And he doesn't have to make you pristine in order to use you. He can use you in your broken state. He can use you while he's constructing you. He can use you while he's fixing you. He can use you while he's healing you. You will be a blessing to others while he's still making a way for you. You will be a help to other people while he's still lifting you up. Oh, brother. Oh, sister. You've got to realize that God is not finished with you yet. That there's some value to you that goes beyond what you can comprehend. That there's a usage of you that goes beyond what other people think you can do. You are greater than people's opinion. You are greater than what other people say about you. You're greater than what other people think about you. Because none of them birthed you. None of them know your future. None of them have your life in their hands. You are used by God. You are called by God. You are chosen by God. Let the broken people shout in this room. You gotta know that there's some worth to you. You gotta know that there's a value to you. That you are the help to other people. There are people that you haven't even met yet that God's gonna use you to heal. Your story's gonna heal them. Your experience is gonna heal them. Y'all don't hear me here. Your brokenness is gonna heal them. Your repair is going to heal them. Oh, God help me. I value my brokenness. I value my brokenness. Donnie, you too transparent. I value my brokenness. Donnie, you tell too much of your business. I value my brokenness. Because while you're censoring me, while you're trying to censor me, other people are being liberated. See, people that are fearful try to control you. Because if you tell your stuff, people are gonna wonder why I'm not telling mine. But I can't account for that. All I can tell you is that I have a testimony. I'm a broken vessel, repaired by the hand of the Most High God. There's still some issues he's working on. Oh, you the pastor, I know. Take it from the pastor. There's still some issues God's working with me on. Well, how you preaching? Because God put his word in my mouth. And God is still distributing me. He's still doling me out. He's still dealing with me. And he's still handing me over to other people. He blessed me. And then he took me broken and gave me out to the multitude. Oh! I'm not trying to excuse sin. And I'm not saying I'm functioning in sin. But I'm saying I'm functioning broken. You better hear me. I'm not making excuse and trying to be lenient on sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. God delivered us from sin. But now I'm telling you that there's still some social areas, some physical areas, some emotional areas that I'm still struggling with. But in the midst of that struggle, God is still dealing me out to other broken vessels, dealing me out to other hungry people, dealing me out to those who are in need. Am I talking to anybody here? Mephibosheth remained dependent upon David. He remained dependent upon David, even though he had been given everything he needed to be sustained. He was given his grandfather's fields. He was given his grandfather's servants. He was put up in the house. He had all that he needed, but he still sat at the master's table. No matter what level you attain to, no matter what height you rise to, hallelujah, no matter what God gives you, doesn't mean that you're independent of him. Oh, hear me. Doesn't mean that you're independent of him. The more he does for you, the more you ingratiated you become. Oh, look at you. The more God does for you, the more ingratiated you become. Hallelujah. You never become so cocky and so conceited because you've got what other people don't have. The bottom line is when you take that other stuff off, you're still as broken as the other people. Still as broken as the other people. Still made of the same stuff as other people. Are you hearing me? So in this day, I find no shame. No shame, Dominique, no shame. In admitting that there are still fissures in me. Still areas that I'm struggling with emotionally. Still areas that I've got to crucify. Amen. There's still some areas that I got to nail to the cross so that I don't fall into my own lusts. There's still some areas of loss and lack and grief that I'm dealing with. Still some areas of physical ailments that I've got to struggle through. Well, no, you should be healed. I am healed. But I was born with certain ailments, undisclosed to everyone. I was born with certain ailments that to this day I still struggle with, still flare up. Well, you don't have enough faith. No, you don't have enough sense to listen. Stop pretending. But if you had so much faith, you should. Oh, if you're such an expert on other people's lives, why is yours still jacked? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I take it back. No, I don't. You cannot allow people to make you feel like you don't have faith. Are you hearing me? You cannot allow people to make you feel like you have not met the mark. You haven't risen to the occasion. If you believed God more than... yes, I understand what you're saying. Idealistically, you're right. But the truth of the matter is, it's a daily experience. Sometimes you rise up feeling like all is right with the world, and other times you open up your eyes and don't know how you're gonna make it. Oh yeah. Sometimes you feel like you can take on everything, and other times it's Herculean, and you don't know how you'll have the strength to endure. It's a gambit. It's a gambit. It's a gambit. And we have got to realize that God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. So sometimes I do cry. You crying under the joy of the Lord? No, I'm crying because of life. Sometimes I do cry because of the pressures of life. Broken. Amen. Sometimes I do think wrongly. Broken. Sometimes I don't do all that I'm supposed to do. Broken. Sometimes I just don't have the strength. And then sometimes I don't have the will. Broken. That's why God has got to give his will. He's got to give us the will and the do. That's why God has got to give us the will and the do according to his pleasure. Oh. I've been blessed, broken, and given. Yeah, I understand Mephibosheth. I understand the handicap. How it dehumanizes you. To not be able to walk, to not be able to use your feet, meant that you were a weakened man. A weakened man. For in the culture that I'm speaking of, in David's time, you stood erect, showed your strength. But not to be able to walk and have to be towed by other people, it was a sign of weakness. Sign of weakness. But Mephibosheth had a son. So no matter how weakened he looked, he could still produce. Don't let people count you out. You can still produce. Are you hearing me? Don't let time cause you to back up. You can still produce. Just because we've been humbled doesn't mean that we can't make things happen. We give up on ventures, we give up on businesses, we give up on visions and dreams because we've been humbled, but don't realize that I can do this even broken. Some of y'all are just clapping because those are applause breaks. I'm trying to talk to you. I don't need the applause. I need you to hear. Keep clapping, but I want you to take it in. Some of you have given up your ventures of business, your dreams and aspirations because of time, finances. And you allowed your handicap to cause you to pull back. But the thing that hit me today as I was reading the last couple of verses is that Mephibosheth had a son. But wait a minute, I thought that he couldn't walk. But that didn't stop his productivity. He's still progenit. He was a progenitor. He still had a heritage. He still left a legacy. He still continued on. What happened? Why did you stop? You don't stop because you're broken. You cleave to him the more. And you take from his strength. His strength is made perfect in our, I don't hear you. His grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect in our, we have no excuse. Hallelujah. We never really had the power to do this on our own anyway. So why would we start to try to do it on our own after we meet Jesus? It's all the more reason to cleave to him. My brother, my broken brother, my broken sister, God still has great usage and need of you. Why? I said I'm going to stop preaching. I'm sorry, I'm just talking so much. Just tell him to just do that. To wrap it up. Why would he not take the thorn out of Paul's flesh? Why would he leave Paul, the great evangelist, Paul, the multilinguist, Paul, this great Sanhedrin? Why would he leave him with a thorn broken, a messenger of Satan that comes to buffer him? Why? So that his dependency would always be on God. That he wouldn't become so puffed up with his own abilities, but that he would always have to trust in God. My brother and sister, you are blessed even though broken. Blessed, broken, to be given out to other people. Blessed, broken, to be given out to other people. Your history is going to help somebody's destiny. Can I say that again? Your history is going to help somebody else's destiny. What you got through will give people the faith to go through. What you went through will give people enough faith to go through. Knowing that if God did it for us, he will do it for them. To every one of you that are watching and that are in this room, this is the wonderful love of God. The wonderful love of God that he would use people like us. There's so many songs going through my mind.
Heard an old story of a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
To save a wretch. To save a wretch.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote such a sacred head for such a worm as I?
When David called Mephibosheth and told him that he was going to bless him, he said, why would you bless such a dead dog? I'm not telling you to be self-deprecating. I'm not telling you to be abusive to yourself. I'm telling you that none of us deserved it. But he chose us despite it. I'm finished. I gotta go. I'm 9 minutes overtime.
Was it for crimes that I had done? He hung upon the tree. Amazing pity. Unknown and love beyond degree.
my drops of grief, I'm sorry, could never repay debt of love I owe. So dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart, it was there, by faith, I received my sight. Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Brokenness, what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Is what you want for me. Broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And I want to say, brokenness, what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Gotta be broken. What you want. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind. Transform it. To yours, oh Lord. Katrina said, take my. To yours. this room, listen to me, look upon me real quickly. If there's anybody in this room, anybody watching, and your life is not right with God, then you are the right candidate for his love. Oh, that sounds crazy, but it's true. If you are in sin, then you are the prime candidate for his love. It doesn't disqualify you, it qualifies you for his love. For God so loved the world, not the righteous, the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. If there's anybody in this room that says, hey, Pastor Donnie, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to come back to the Lord. I'm broken, but if he'll take me, I'll come just as I am without one plea. If there's anybody in this room that says, Pastor Donnie, I want to give my life to the Lord. If he'll take it, I got news for you. He died to take it. Is there anybody here? At the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three, raise that hand. Raise that hand. If there's anybody that's watching right now and you're saying, hey, my life is jacked, that's okay. God is still going to bless you. He's going to change you. He's going to help you. He's going to heal you. Then he's going to use you. You are the prime candidate for his love. You are. Somebody say, I am the prime candidate for God's love. So if you want to give your life to the Lord, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want you to pray along with me. Then I'm going to pray for you. And then I want you to go to our website, and if you have a prayer request, put it on, and you'll type four words, I prayed that prayer, and we'll be able to contact you. But right now, pray along with me. It's every one of you that want to give your heart to Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Help me. I need you. Wash my sins away. Give me a brand new life. I accept you as my Savior. I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you rose again. You are God. And I come to you. By your grace, through my faith, my sins are forgiven. By your grace, through my faith in you, I am born again. Today, by your grace, through my faith in you, I am saved. I am a new creation. So, Father, I pray for everyone that prayed this prayer earnestly. I pray, Lord God, that you would seal this in them and let your love overshadow them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and let them be baptized in your name. I praise you, Father, for those that have prayed this prayer have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We welcome you to the kingdom of God, our brother and sister. Somebody praise God right quickly. Praise God for the new convert. Praise God for your brother and sister. So if you prayed that prayer, simply type those four words that you see on the screen. Simply type, I prayed that prayer. Four words on the screen. I prayed that prayer. Type it right now. When you type it, it will alert us. It will give us your email information, and we'll be able to reach out to you and connect with you to give you some next steps if you need, to give you a shoulder to lean on, to offer prayer on your behalf, to cover you in this situation, to help you grow in God. God bless your hearts, and welcome to the family. Welcome to the family.